Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen, and we're here to pump up your parenting skills and pump up your knowledge, pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and at missionsradio.org, as well as liveleadplay.com. Parent Pump Radio is brought to you by Integrative Minds. Do you want to leave a multi-generational legacy in wealth, health, and happiness for your family and loved ones? Do you want to become the leader you were meant to be and to lead a productive, purposeful, and successful life? Go to integrativeminds.com to schedule your complimentary consultation to learn how. So by now, I'm sure you've heard of the word entrepreneurial and entrepreneurial mindset a lot. In my leadership company, Integrative Minds, we coach and train people to be leaders and have this quality. But what is an entrepreneurial mindset and why is it so coveted? It's defined as a mind that is often drawn towards opportunities, innovations, and new value creation. Some characteristics include the ability to take a calculated risk, resourcefulness, fearless, loves challenges, considers themselves an outsider, recovers quickly, listens, focuses on what matters, welcomes changes, and accepts the realities of change and the uncertainty of it. Now, as a parent, I know I would love my kids to have this mindset, wouldn't you? My guest today is someone that I just recently met, and when we started speaking, it was like I was speaking to the choir. We had so much synergy in what we do in our life, in our business, our beliefs, our goals, and our mission regarding leadership and entrepreneurship. He is a third-generation entrepreneur with over 25 years of entrepreneurship exposure. And from 2008 to 2014, he acquired degrees in information technology, marketing, supply chain, and business, along with skills in sales, recruiting, and investment, to name a few. He calls himself a super achiever, and I think I agree with that. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Marcus Bowles. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing awesome. Looking forward to this interview.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Man, thank you for that warm introduction. As I always share, it really humbles my heart, you know, just see how much that I accomplished, but not to toot my own horn, but to really let me know how much more that I want to accomplish and how much more I can give. So I'm excited about the interview on today as well.
Yeah, me too. And here I have with me today is also Brian Chow. He was one of my guests on the Teen to Parent Talk about, what did you talk about, Brian, that last interview?
I believe the last one was on loneliness and isolation.
Yes, that's right. And so he's going to be here with me today to interview Marcus, and we love to hear his two cents since he's 19, and we want to bring these new innovators, these young millennials and Z generation, to be the leaders and the entrepreneurs that we wish we would have known back then, right, Marcus?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to his input, just to see that little bit of different perspective. I'm a big believer in the internet, but I know that generation, that age group, I would say, is probably an even bigger believer in the internet than I am.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to get talking. You learned so much in a short amount of time, 2008 to 2014. You're a super achiever. What was the reason for this push for the growth that you achieved?
It was a couple things. I'll give the more traditional answer first, and then to the listeners, I'll give the challenging answer. Growing up as a third generation entrepreneur, of course, I was, I guess, you know, what you have to say, forced into the whole business thing. But at the same time, my parents very much pushed education. And I think it really stemmed from my grandfather. My grandfather only having a sixth grade education. We're talking early 1900s, but yet acquiring several businesses in a variety of industries. He did his best to provide an education for my parents on my father's side. And naturally, that generation born in the 50s, they didn't have a lot growing up. And so that generation, they strove very hard to provide proper education and instilling it into their children, which was my generation. Essentially, that's the more kind of proper answer. It really came from, you know, ever since I can remember, my parents, you know, teaching me education is a valuable key. You may be very talented at sports. You have entrepreneurship in your back pocket, but definitely push to get your education as well.
Yeah.
Part two to that, you may say, well, that was a little bit extreme, acquiring that much education in that short amount of time. The challenging question or answer that I put out there is I did it because I could. Being an entrepreneur and just really fascinated about life and life really being about growth, I come to find that we really don't give it our all. And I say majority of the population because we typically kind of get set in the subconscious mindset, just go through the motion. Hey, they told me that I was supposed to go to school in about 3.5-4 years, I'll graduate with 1 degree. Well, when I looked at and learned the game of the curriculum, so I seen classes overlap, it could apply to different majors. I had synergy from previous education. I was like, well, I could essentially walk out with more than just 1 degree in this short amount of time. And so I did it. It was hard. It was challenging. You know, I was taking some semesters, 21 credit hours. But again, I did it because I knew I could do it and I gave it my all. So that's what strove me to go on that quest and that journey.
Yeah, it shows the power of the human capacity that they're really... It's a much higher limit than a lot of us give ourselves credit for.
Absolutely.
When you sent me over your bio and I read your mission and purpose, I thought it was great. So is it okay if I just read it?
Yeah, sure.
He has the gift of helping and loving people. So his purpose is to empower and inspire millions of people who believe they are brought together to help each other achieve their purposes. And I really love this because I feel in this time and age where technology almost separates people, and you see everybody isolating themselves, just what's going on in our political system, everybody is just arguing and being against each other. We have to stop and think about uniting and bringing together what we are all here about.
I definitely agree with that.
That leads us into what we're talking about is why guiding our children to be entrepreneur, to have that kind of mindset is the key to their success. And I think also society's success. We all benefit from this. And I think a lot of times we forget what having an entrepreneurial mindset is. Can you tell us more about it, Marcus?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a favorite topic of mine. I pride myself and share with people the difference between studying success and modeling success. You know, you never really want to model success because ultimately you end up possibly picking up characteristics and traits or trying to mimic someone else's success. Of course, success is what we define it as. So when I was studying success and of course entrepreneurship came up as a topic is really where I found the magic, so to speak, of really what the entrepreneur mindset is. So from a high level perspective, most of our society really relates to entrepreneurship mindset and really just entrepreneurship in general to either being a business owner or some type of organizational leader.
Right.
But when you look at the definition of the word and you look at the definition of the characteristics this word carries, it's really centered around creating, doing, growing, providing. Nowhere in the definition or in the characteristics does it say you have to be a business owner. It doesn't say you have to be an organizational leader. It tells you that you are a creator, you are a provider, and that you have the ability to do. And I love sharing that message because when people look at it from that perspective, it looks like a million light bulbs going off all at the same time because it's challenging what we have grown to make the entrepreneurship mindset or just that word mean in our society, but it can really be far essentially from the truth because it's not just about being a business owner or organizational leader.
Yeah, I agree. What challenges or issues do you face when you're working with your client trying to get them into this mindset?
I would really say ownership. I'm very surprised. Well, I used to be very surprised, but just being a student of education and just studying, I found to really grow and understand that the moment that you own any and everything that happens in your life, regardless of if you caused it, if it was your fault, whatever, when you take 100% ownership of how you respond, at that point, nothing will ever stop you from doing what you want to do. When working with my clients, that's one of the number one things that I try to get across to them early in our relationship is things have happened in the past. You are at the stage of your success journey based on decisions you did or you did not make, external forces that you could not control, as well as internal forces that you had the ability to control. But the moment that you take back that you are able to respond to anything that happens to you, when you take that control back, your mindset changes for the better because you are completely in control of your life.
I agree with that. When you change your story, you change your belief. And I know there's a lot of young kids and children out there that did go through some really tough childhood, from divorce to mental illness and even worse, molestation and things like that. I know Oprah talks about her struggle and journey with molestation. Whatever story that you build around what happened to you as a childhood can be very empowering or can be very disempowering. So when you start taking ownership of how you feel, not what happened to you, I think it does, and it will change your life. It's been proven over and over again from people who have gone through adversity that when they change that story, they literally become so much more successful on the inside as well as the outside.
Absolutely. Like I said in my bio, the super achievers that you call it, Oprah, all the just the greats of our time in their own respective industries, a lot of them have jacked up childhood. They have jacked up histories that it's like when you think about it, it's like, wow, like you overcame that. You know, we admire it.
Yeah.
And I tell people your story really isn't too much different. Yeah, the factors and what may have actually physically played out may be different, but there is some super achiever that you can relate to. But instead of them utilizing their challenges, adversities, and just jacked up passes as a billy club, they used them as a platform to drive them away from what they knew they did not want, what they knew they did not want to experience, and what they knew that they wanted to shed light on and help other people that were coming behind them. That is the only difference from that quote-unquote 5% and the rest of the 95%.
Yeah. And I think this is why teaching your children these entrepreneurial mindset, which is about resourcefulness, being fearless, and looking from the outside, because I think when challenges happen, we're so focused on being in the issue that we don't see what other possibilities there could be. So when we put ourselves outside the situation, I think you can see more of the choices that you have.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. I also really like what you brought up, Mark, about how a lot of these people who really are the success stories have been able to make that distinction between letting their past define them versus using it as fuel to drive them to success.
What other challenges or issues do you face when you're coaching, Marcus?
Man, one of the big ones I'm really excited about sharing, especially given who the audience is that's listening, is this myth that success is easy. So there have been decades and hundreds of years of people teaching on strategies and success and things along that line. But when I was studying, and I don't know where the lines got crossed in our society, that it was supposed to be easy to achieve your goals. It was supposed to be easy to achieve whatever you define success as, whether that's climbing the corporate ladder in your corporate career, being an entrepreneur, being a parent, or just living in life, that we have gone to think that our lives are supposed to be easy, like nothing is supposed to happen. So I'll give a real live example real quick. You know, I was in Memphis, Tennessee this past holiday weekend, and a storm came through really kind of out of nowhere. They expected it to come through the city, but not nearby be the level of devastation to being the third largest power outage in the city's history. When you look at things like that, I mean, just a simple storm that came through that nobody really was expecting to be to the capacity that it is. But when I'm coaching and when I'm teaching, I see people get frustrated, they tap out, they quit because whatever the goal that they're trying to achieve, it's not easy. I learned whenever I write a goal down to achieve something, I expect it to be about 10 times harder than I imagined, than I could imagine right there when I came up with the goal. Now, sometimes it's not always, you know, 10 times, it may just be 5 times harder. But I want to share with this audience that being a parent, growing up, living life, it's going to happen. It's going to suck. It's going to be stressful. It's going to put pressure on you. But at the end of the day, the difference between the super achievers and those that just kind of mediocrely drive through life is that they do not back down. They buckle down on the pressure and they drive through it just like every other human being has the ability to do.
These are our heroes. We talk about the journey to your hero story, and the ones that are the achievers are the ones that go through those adversity. We're here to learn. And the only way to learn is we're going to fall, and we may fall a lot more than we plan to, but it's about getting back up and you keep pushing through it and things get easier and easier. And then the next challenge comes up.
Yeah. I tell people to enjoy that little down moment that you have, because I see myself sometimes as a mechanic, you know, a mechanic that drag races.
Yeah.
So throughout the week, they're in the garage working, tuning, tearing down the motor, tearing down the transmission to put it back on the track come Friday. And for that split 2 hours that they're racing on the track, you know, they're having fun. That's us. But majority of the time, you know, they're in the garage tearing down and going back through it. So absolutely.
When you ask anybody, what was the most memorable time you have? Most likely they're going to talk to you about times that they overcame adversity. I remember I had spent a year traveling around the world with just my backpack when I was 30 years old. And when I talk about that journey, most of the time, the first thing that comes up is about the times when something happened that was not good. Like I had to push a van up a hill of a mountain with 10 other backpackers because we had too many people in the car in the darkest of night. Those are things that remember. I mean, I remember the good times too, but those really crazy times in my life are when I'm like, those are the memorable ones. Why? Because there was such a push on growth in myself.
Agreed. They make you stronger. You think about it. You don't get buff, you know, going to the gym by the 5 pound weight.
Yeah.
You know, you may start off there. You may start off there and that's perfectly fine. But eventually, you're going to work your way up to the 10, the 15, the 20, and the 25. I'm big on analogies if you haven't learn that already, but they grow you.
It does. Now, I know that you feel everyone is an entrepreneur, and I believe this too. We all have that entrepreneur mindset in us, is whether we choose to utilize it or not. What's your thought on that?
Let me start on more of the working side of what I mean by that.
Okay.
As I shared earlier, you know, our society has really tied entrepreneurship to a career. And don't get me wrong, entrepreneurship, it is a career path. And there is a corporate career path, working 9 to 5 or, you know, however you define it. That's a career path. Now, the thing about the entrepreneurship career path and the corporate career path in our society, we need them both.
Yep.
Everyone cannot take the entrepreneurship path and create the visions and create the things as far as the business aspect is concerned. You know, we need awesome team members as entrepreneurs in a career to help us fulfill the vision. We need them to bring great processes and great systems to our organizations and to the visions that we've created as entrepreneurs as a career path. There's nothing wrong as a career path choosing one or the other, but we cannot have everyone be in either of the lanes. If you think about it, every country is a vision and was basically founded by either an entrepreneur or a group of entrepreneurs. The United States, our founding fathers, essentially, they were an entrepreneur of the United States of America. Every business is someone chose to take that entrepreneur path. Every university, someone chose or a group of people chose that entrepreneurship path, and every nonprofit organization, again, that entrepreneurship path. Now, when you look at those characteristics, when you tie it to your personal life, and when you tie it to you being a leader of your family, of your children, of your community, it is all of our responsibilities to carry those same entrepreneurship, corporate career paths, those characteristics down into our personal lives. Because no one isn't going to tell you how to manage your bank account and your bank statements. They might teach it to you in school, cross your thumbs and hope to die. I've seen that class get thrown out several times now.
Yeah.
So that is where I say it's everyone is an entrepreneur because those characteristics are alive inside of us, and it's all of our responsibilities to display them, and especially to lead our family, especially to lead our children. You don't have to tell them to be an entrepreneur, but you should be telling them to maintain these characteristics, because as you grow up and you move from the pull-ups into the big world, no one is going to hold your hand and tell you what's right and what's wrong, where you should be studying, where you shouldn't be studying, where the quote-unquote secrets lie. It's going to be completely up to you, essentially, to figure it out on your own. Luckily, we have the internet that is leaving breadcrumb trails and clues where to go. But again, you have to follow them on your own. And those are those characteristics of entrepreneurship inside of all of us.
I agree with that. And I actually read an article one time, I don't remember where it was, but they were saying that corporations, big companies, actually were looking for employees with entrepreneurial mindset characteristics in their company, because those are the people that were the innovators. They're the ones that thought of the new ideas. They think outside of the box. It's the characteristic of the entrepreneur mind that we want parents to learn about, to instill in their children, because it's going to take them to a whole new level of thinking, of being, and of doing.
And also kind of just backtracking a little bit, I know that you brought up important characteristics that people need to be able to cultivate. And there's actually a lot of really interesting research being done at my school, the University of Pennsylvania, right now. I don't know if you know about someone named Professor Angela Duckworth, but she's given a few TED Talks about a characteristic called grit, G-R-I-T. And what this is, it's a new sort of characteristic that a lot of people are finding. It's that being ability to persevere in hardship and really bring yourself up when things are getting really difficult. And they find that that, as opposed to natural talent or just a natural affinity towards being able to do stuff, is a bigger indicator of what success, of how like you are to achieve success. I had a quick question about how people are able to cultivate that in themselves, like what separates someone who's able to really grow that in themselves versus someone who really hasn't been able to have that opportunity.
That's a great question. I think I can give, you know, at least my perspective on the answers for two sides of the fence. I'll give the probably more urban answer first, and bear with me as I go through it. To grit, the synonym that a lot of people, especially millennials, are similar to is hustle. It's really seen a lot in sports, and Michael Jordan is really known for this quote or this analogy, is that he said, you will never be able to outwork me. You will never be able to out-hustle me. You may be more talented. You may be more gifted. You may have more resources, but you will never beat me because of working harder than me. And so for some people, how they're able to cultivate that into their characteristic or into their DNA is that they had no choice but to do that. I'm talking about impoverished neighborhoods that just don't have all of the resources compared to other neighborhoods. So essentially, if you have a mentor in your ear, like my parents, they worked hard and they put that inside of me. So as I was growing up, I really didn't know what it was that was building in me, but essentially they were building that grit, that hustle inside of me. And it just became a part of who I am. And again, that's why I was able to get those degrees in that short amount of time. I just knew nothing else but to give it my all and hustle. And you wasn't going to beat me by out hustling me. But for other people that not essentially a part of their culture or something that someone has put inside of them essentially from early on, it can be learned. And I say that because when I was really studying innovation, there was a quote that I read that said 33% of innovators are naturally born. And so the other, 67.whatever percent are taught. So that grit, that hustle can be taught as well if you really desire it. And really in our society today, and to your point of why it's important to have the entrepreneurship characteristics, is because these organizations understand in business that it's moving 100 times faster than it was ever before because of the internet and because of technology. That's why they're looking for those who have that entrepreneurship characteristics. They're not afraid of failing. They're not afraid of fear, because it's constantly changing. And the moment you slow down, the moment you stop, is when you get bought out, is when your industry changes, or when we see several examples of Blockbuster, Kodak, and I can go on, happening to those companies.
So I think I can also add to what your question is, Brian. If you weren't taught that when you were growing up, you can always learn it, like Marcus said. So how do you do that? The internet is a great place, but I think the best place for me is to have a mentor. Find someone that you feel have those qualities and ask them, can you be my mentor? Can I bounce things off of you? Can you give me your perspective on how I'm doing things? Give me critiques, help me grow. I have someone like that. And every time I get into my fear or I have doubts, I call him and he helps me think a different way, see a different way, so that I can take different action. And if you can't find someone, there's plenty of mentor. Like for me, Tony Robbins is a huge mentor. So I love reading what he puts out. I love listening to the videos that he has on YouTube, on the internet. And so in a way, he's my mentor too.
Yeah, I think it's amazing how many...
I call them virtual mentors. I love them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Virtual mentors.
Yeah, how many tools we have in our society today. I mean, I think it's absolutely incredible in today's day and age about how connected we are to different resources if we want to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
So I think that's really great that you brought that up, Jacqueline.
Thank you. So Marcus, do you have any free resources that you can give our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way to get access to those and what we call our digital education is going to marcusbowles.com/inquiry. And there on the screen, you'll see a short form. It takes less than 30 seconds to select digital education, and you will get access to all the information, you know, that we put out. We put out probably 2 to 3 things weekly. So it's really aligning what we talked about on our show today, and really helping you get access to those virtual mentors that we quickly mentioned. So that's the free resource, and I utilize it, and it's been a life changer for me. So I'm looking forward to connecting with you virtually that way.
Awesome. Marcus, we're running out of time, but before we end, I would like the listeners to know what your upcoming projects are.
If you haven't already, you can definitely Google my company that I started back in 2013, Customized Minds. It's a marketing holding firm. And really what that is, we just have several different businesses within that organization. They're all in their separate industries. To learn more about the business projects and products and services that we offer, just Google Customized Minds. But me personally, I'm big on what you said earlier, my personal mission and objective here in this world. So I've launched a new program called Live Life on Purpose. I would love to come and share it with your organization, your community, your business, wherever. And it teaches you to kind of what I alluded to earlier in the show is when things happen to you, you own those things and you take control of how you respond to them. And therefore, you live life on purpose and not out of responsiveness. So that's the latest thing that we're working on. For more information on that, just visit my website, my personal website, marcusbowles.com. You can find a little bit of information on that one, as well as our Speak Life 365 program. So I'm excited just living in this time, this opportunity that I've had to share with some nuggets on this show, and I look forward to meeting some of you very soon in the near future.
Well, thank you so much. And listener, marcusbowles.com and customizedmind.com is in our show notes. So you can just click on the link and it will take you to Marcus. And thank you so much, Marcus, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I enjoyed it as well. Take care and I'll see you soon as well.
And thank you, listener. Keep on learning and keep on growing.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.